Thanks for listening to Tuned to Yesterday's Encore broadcasts. Do you enjoy the historical aspect of these old shows? Would you like to hear more in-depth tales of the performers and players that made the golden age of radio what it was? We have a weekly podcast dedicated to this called the Tuned to Yesterday Dialer, or TTY Dialer for short. It brings you stories of how radio was, along with fun with sound from radio's past, and a brief preview of the shows coming up for the week. The podcasts are about 20 minutes long, and they're posted Saturday nights and make for great listening on Sundays or whenever you want. It's the TTY Dialer podcast at WRVO.org, or listen as part of your subscription to Tuned to Yesterday on iTunes. Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Levenier, and in this hour, comedy. In a while, we'll hear Fibber McGee and Molly celebrating their 20th anniversary on NBC. But right now, it's the Jimmy Durante program from December 17th, 1947, on the same network, with Roy Bargy and his orchestra, Howard Petrie, Candy Candido, and Arthur Treacher.
From Hollywood, the Jimmy Durante Show!
Ink, a dinkadee, a dinkadoo, a dinkadee. Oh, what a tune!
Yes, 10,000 Rexall drugstores who carry the complete line of top-quality Rexall drug products bring you the Jimmy Durante Show with Peggy Lee, Arthur Treacher, Candy Candido, Roy Bargy and his orchestra, our Rexall sportscaster Tommy Harmon, yours truly Howard Petrie, and our special guest tonight, Victor Moore. And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Jimmy Durante in person.
Start off each day with a song.
I'm leaving, do you understand?
Even when things go wrong.
You hear me? I'm leaving.
You feel better. You even look better.
I'm going and I'm not coming back. Do you hear me? I'm going. I'm going. Ah!
That was John L. Lewis quietly walking out of the AF of L. Look out, John.
Ouch!
Poor Johnny got his eyebrows caught in the door. And now as a special musical treat, I'm going to sing my famous number in which I called for Chloe.
Hey, Jimmy, you've been calling for Chloe for years. Why don't you give up? She never answers you.
She will this time, Howard. Listen. Chloe.
Yes, Jimmy, honey.
You see, folks, you can always get a girl to answer around Christmas time.
Oh, gosh, Jimmy, Christmas is getting close, isn't it? Have you been pretty busy shopping?
Was I busy shopping? Emphatically. The other day in a department store, I was caught in a muddle of womanhood. And just out of curiosity, I peeped over a lady's shoulder, and I'll never do that again.
Why?
I wound up in front of the store with my nose wrapped as a gift. It was addressed to a little old lady in Fresno.
Well, Jimmy, you being such a man about town, you must have quite an impressive Christmas list, don't you?
Right, Howard, and the very first name on my Christmas list is President Truman. But I don't know if I can get him what he wants.
Gee, Jimmy, this is interesting. Tell me, what is it that President Truman wants for Christmas?
A few more Democrats in the Senate. That puts Santa Claus in a spot. His reindeer are all from Maine and Vermont.
Well, Schnoz, in all the hustle and bustle of the holidays, I hope you haven't neglected your campaign for the vice presidency.
Answering you in the affirmative? No. Why, just last week I conducted a poll, and these are the results I got. The Democrats don't like my nose, the Republicans don't like my chin, and the Socialists don't like my hair, and then there's the Communists.
Well, what don't the Communists like?
The Democrats, the Republicans, and the Socialists. And etc. But Howard, my survey also pointed out the greatest problem facing the country today, the water situation between California and Arizona.
I'm glad you brought that up, Jimmy. There's a fellow here waiting to see you from the Colorado River Authority.
I'm always glad to meet a connubable Coloradian constituent.
Oh, no.
If you folks think you can read it any better, here, take the page.
Well, here he is, Jimmy, the man from the Colorado River Authority.
Well, how do you do?
for your life, the dam is busted. But tell me, what's your problem?
Well, I think California drinks too much water.
Would you spout that line at me again, please?
I said California's drinking too much water. Can you hear me now?
Well, the words are clear, but the syllables are a little soggy.
Well, I just made a survey of the Colorado River. I swam upstream, downstream, and even underwater. And I only have one thing to report.
What's that?
I'm forever blowing.
Thank you, Tom and Lovato.
Well, Jimmy, your campaign is sure arousing a lot of interest. There's even a little Indian maiden waiting here to give you a report from her tribe. Come, come, speak up, little Indian princess.
Ugh.
Ugh. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You look like an Indian that once sold me a scratchy blanket.
But me from Kickapoo tribe, and Kickapoos travel a long way. First, Kickapoos travel over Allegheny, then Kickapoos travel over the Rockies, then Kickapoos land in California.
After a long trip like that, you must be pretty tired.
Ugh.
I'm feeling mighty Kickapoo.
But little princess, as long as you went to all that trouble to get here, let's join together and sing your tribal song.
Ugh, you go ahead. Me follow.
If your temp is getting the top hand, all you gotta do is stop and pass that peace pipe and bury that hatchet like this.
Chop toast, chicken sauce, chatter, hoochie, chippy, wars, do.
If you're feeling mad as a wet hen, mad as you can possibly get, then pass that peace pipe and bury that tomahawk.
Like those chitchy max Cherokees, chipotchy backs, do.
Don't be cranky.
Try to use a little restraint.
Blow that hanky.
And wipe
off all of that
war paint.
And if you find yourself in a fury, be your own judge and your own jury. Pass that peace pipe and bury that hatchet like a
stop toast.
Chickasaw.
Jackie Walker.
Chickasaw.
You know, you're kind of cute.
Ugh. You like to marry a princess? You're going to look them kind of cute yourself with big papoose hanging on the back of your shoulders.
Nothing doing. I got enough trouble with this big papoose hanging on the front of my face. Pass that big pipe and bury that hatchet like the Chickasaw Chicksaws.
Tackle to the Chickasaws.
And those Chickasaws, Cherokees, Chickappies, Tehachapi, Choo-choo changes, Chattanoo. Wait a minute, wait a minute. How do you like that? I finally learned the words to Chababa Chababa, and now this thing comes along. So, pass that peace pipe and bury that hatchet now.
Pass that peace pipe and bury that hatchet
now.
If you want to be sure that the product is pure when you ask for a drug preparation, buy the Rexall line at the Rexall sign, a Rexall identification.
Now let's look into Jimmy Durante's house as his man Treacher enters in high spirits.
One must start off each day with a round a day. Even when things are adverse, oh, you'll feel better. Even your appearance will improve. Oh! Oh, what a note!
What a note! What a voice! Sounds like a wounded floor walker at Sears Roebuck.
You know, that's quite a brash statement. Coming from a man whose voice sounds as though he gargles with chemtone.
Touché, Treacher, touché. But to smooth your ruffled feathers, my little cockatoo, I have a bit of a Christmas gift here for you. It's a music box.
Oh, thank you. I say it's a beautiful music box.
That's nothing. Wait to lift the lid and hear what it plays.
All right, sir, I'll lift it. Well, I've lifted the lid, sir. I don't hear anything.
How do you like that? Petrillo took the record out. Well, so much for topical material. But I'd better get on with my political campaign.
Well, how's the campaign coming along, sir?
Swimmingly, Arthur, swimmingly. My foreign policy will be hailed as another Vaughan Monroe doctrine. My plan is to trade one of our beautiful girls to every country in Europe in exchange for one of their beautiful girls. I'll take it. Hello. Durante speaking.
Спасибо, товарищ. Понедельник признает не построй горл. Как люблю я ваше состояние, понимай, горл. Как люблю и как любла, как любла-бла. Горл, goodbye.
That was Stalin with the new rate of exchange. He wants 10 of our girls for one of his. Well, I gotta get going. Teacher, I heard there's a political mastermind in this town who spends every day sitting on a park bench, just like Bernard Baruch.
Oh, that's a good idea, sir. I'll bet he's just the man who can help you with your political campaign. I'll get the car out right away, sir.
Look, Treacher, there's our man sitting on the park bench.
Is he the big boss, sir?
That's right.
Well, now, you just go over. You go over and impress him with your knowledge of politics.
I'll impress him?
Yes, sir, go on.
Tell me, sir. In your expert opinion, do you consider foresight as opposed to hindsight a great asset to a statesman? Or do you consider hindsight of equal value to foresight?
If I knew the answer to that, would I be sitting on this bench marked wet paint?
Why, it's Victor Moore. Gosh, it's always good to see you, Victor. Sometimes I think I'd be lost without you.
Yeah, Jimmy, I'd be lost without you.
But I'd really be lost without you, Victor.
I'd really be lost without you, Jimmy.
For a couple of grown men, we get lost awfully easily.
Well, you don't need me any longer, sir. I'm leaving. But I'll be home tonight in time to put your nose up in curlers.
Schneidbounder. But, Victor, I didn't know you were a political mastermind. I thought you were making a picture.
Well, I was supposed to, but I just lost out on a part. The producers couldn't figure out whether to buy me or John Garfield for that new picture, Body and Soul.
They didn't know whether to buy you or John Garfield for Body and Soul? What happened?
Well, they took one look at my body and Garfield was sold.
Yes, I understand.
Oh, I sometimes wish I was a young, dashing Romeo again.
Don't feel too badly, Victor. After all, you're younger than Al Jolson.
I know, but who isn't?
Well, anyway, Victor, I love to reminisce like this with you. But I came to you for advice on my political campaign.
Well, just put yourself in my hands, Jimmy. Your election is insured. We'll institute a program of national improvements. First, we'll build 6 new bridges in Kentucky.
Yes.
Then we'll build 12 new bridges in Idaho.
Go ahead.
Then we'll build 36 new bridges in Arizona. And then we'll start digging.
Digging what?
Rivers to go under those bridges.
But isn't that spending an awful lot of money? Why couldn't we just build bridges over the ridges we already got?
Jimmy, you're beginning...
I heard one of the musicians say river. I said rivers, not bridges. Let me take that line again, will you please? There's always critics in the musician's line. But isn't that spending an awful lot of money? Why couldn't we just build bridges over the rivers we already got?
Attaboy. Jimmy, you're beginning to talk like a Republican.
Don't talk so loud. San Badu is listening. Well, I have faith in you, Victor, and when I'm elected, we'll have a reign of prosperity. There'll be a car in every garage and a Ritter Haywood in every pot.
Wait a minute, that's a chicken in every pot.
You fill your pots, I'll fill mine. And now our charming chanteuse, Miss Peggy Lee, to sing her latest Capitol recording, the very popular Golden Earrings.
Well, thanks for the kind words, Jimmy. I hope you like this haunting gypsy melody.
Yes, I do. And while you're singing, I'll go into the tents and have my palm read.
There's a
inside your soul. So be my gypsy, make love your guiding light, and let this pair of golden earrings cast a spell tonight. Guiding light, and let this pair of golden earrings cast a spell
story from the Rexall Laboratory.
No soldier in any army ever had to stand an inspection anywhere near so rigid as the bottled drug products in the Rexall Laboratory.
Well, Victor, now that I'm in your hands, what else can you do to help my political career?
Well, first I advise you to do something about the food problem. But you'll have to deal with the farmers by yourself. I could never operate in the Middle West.
Why not?
There isn't room in the West for my middle. I got a million of them. And some of them aren't even as good as that one.
Well, come on, Victor. Let's get going to Washington. I can hear our train pulling at the Union Station right now. Wait a minute. I said train. What can I do? The sound man's union is stronger than mine.
Ah, doesn't it give you a great feeling, Jimmy, walking along Pennsylvania Avenue?
Yeah, right in the shadow of the Capitol.
And these are my home grounds. Why, I know every senator in Washington.
Hello, Victor.
Hello, Senator.
Hiya, Vic.
It's Senator Nolan and Senator Vandenberg. That's Senator Taft. He's a dark horse.
Well, Victor, you certainly seem to know everybody around here.
Jimmy, you're lucky I'm handling your campaign.
I appreciate it. Don't worry.
Now, if you're going to be vice president, it's important that you know your way around town. Now, right over there is the Supreme Court. On your left is the Senate, and right over there is the House.
Yes. The house must have California construction. You know, in California, when you drive a nail in a wall, both you and the guy next door can hang a picture on it.
Well, Jimmy, my boy, my advice to you is to curry the favor of the bigwigs. We'll step in this drugstore here and get a couple of boxes of chocolates.
There's a customer ahead of us.
All right, clerk. I'll take those green ones, but remove that one. And I'll take the four yellow ones, but remove those two. And the three licorice are fine, but take out that last one. Thank you. Good day.
Who is that?
Parnell Thomas. Even before he buys jelly beans, he weeds out the reds.
Well, come on, Jimmy. You'll never get any place in politics until you make a speech. To show you how powerful I am, I've arranged for you to speak to Congress. Come on, they're probably waiting for us. I'll step right up on the platform and take over. Now, look here, you people. I'm taking over this meeting. I see a great delegation from the War Department. I'm going to call the roll. General Marshall?
Yeah.
General Doolittle?
Yeah.
General Myers?
Yeah.
just leave the general standing there. Somebody push his little cash drawer back in.
Well, go ahead and start your speech, Jimmy. I got him warmed up for you.
Wait a minute, Victor. Before I start, I see a young lady who seems to have a question. What is it you'd like to say, miss?
Mr. Durante, I think you're just wonderful. And after the rally, why don't you come up to my apartment? And we can sit in front of the fire and hold hands.
Well, General Marshall may have a plan, but I think she's got a better one.
Now, Jimmy, stick to politics. I think the crowd is on our side. Here, I've written a great campaign song for you. We'll sing it to them, and then we'll have every vote in the House.
I'm with you, Victor. Let's go.
The time has come for me to speak out loud. I've got a message of which I'm proud.
Give this man attention. He deserves to be heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say a word.
Are you sure that you are certain that you're going to raise the curtain and you're getting set to give us all a lowdown?
Yes.
Are you giving an oration that is going to rock the nation? Are you sure that this is going to be a showdown?
I said yes.
Then speak.
I will.
Speak.
I will.
Speak, 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 speak.
Don't rush me. Now, what I want to say is this. Durante is the choice of the people. He's got that political knack.
Durante is the choice of the people.
I said it and I won't take it back. With the nose that he's got, it's as plain as day. He could smell something fishing 1,000 miles away.
Durante is the choice of the people.
Well, how's about it, huh? A chicken in each pot, that's a promise you have heard.
When it's said by Durante, he means every word.
A chicken in each pot.
That means you're gonna get the bird.
Gimme, gimme, gimme. Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy.
Durante is the people's choice. Durante is the choice of the people.
Folks, if I'm elected, I
promise. Durante is the choice of the people.
Folks, I want to say if I'm elected.
Durante is the choice of the people.
I feel like a vice president already. Nobody lets me get a word in. Ladies and gentlemen, I think the decaying doctrines of power politics are inconsequential and non compos mentis e pluribus unum.
Jimmy, what does that mean?
Who says it has to mean anything? I'm a politician. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy. We want Durante,
the people's choice.
This is Howard Petrie again with a Rexall reminder for the Christmas shoppers. This is the time of year when your Rexall druggist steps out of his traditional role and plays Santa Claus for millions of busy Christmas shoppers. So, during the busy week ahead, make your Rexall drugstore headquarters for all your Christmas shopping.
Touché, Professor Petrie, and I'd like to add, I do my Christmas shopping at a Rexall store. What I want, they got, and furthermore, Umbriago, he prefers them too. We buy Rexall. That's all. How do you do? Hey, with you, when we're far away, when we're far away. Let me hear that high note, my soul. What a note. What a note.
A mellifluous note, Mr. Durante.
It's about time you came in, Mr. Moore. Well, Victor, even though I didn't make too big a hit in Washington... Well, Victor, even though I didn't make too big a hit in Washington, I want to thank you for helping me with my campaign today.
It was a lot of fun, Jimmy. By the way, what are you doing next week?
I'm going to have my hands full, Victor. Next Wednesday is Christmas Eve, and I'm playing Santa Claus for Margaret O'Brien. I can just see me riding up in my sleigh with my reindeer, Donder, and Blitzen, Dancer and Prancer, Cupid and Vixen, and Lana Turner.
But, Jimmy, Lana Turner isn't a deer.
I gotta have a talk with this boy. Come on, Victor. Thanks, Victor Moore, for coming over tonight. Next week, folks, we have as our guest the sweetheart of the nation, Margaret O'Brien. Before we close, Tommy Harmon, famous player of the Los Angeles Rams, selects the Rexall All-American football team. Tommy, we're listening with ears akimbo.
Well, Jim, tonight we select our Rexall All-American team. 11 men who proved throughout a tough grid season that they can play football for anyone. All-American football. At the ends are Swiaki of Columbia and Poole of Mississippi. The tackles are Davis of Georgia Tech and Harris of Texas. The guards are Suey of Penn State and Steffi of Army. The center post is Dick Scott of Navy. The backfield is made up of four triple threat backs who are all great defensive men. The quarterback is Lujak of Notre Dame. The halfbacks is Walker of Southern Methodist and Elliott of Michigan. At fullback is Evans of Kansas. And there you have our All-American selections, a great team of 11 All-American kids. Congratulations. And as every team needs a coach, we honor H.O. Fritz Kreisler of Michigan, selected as the coach of the year to coach this team of Rexall All-Americans. Congratulations, Fritz. It seems like old home week. To each of those selected on this Rexall All-American team, we are sending a specially engraved American-made Waltham wrist watch. Waltham, first American watch to each All-American.
Well, that's all for tonight, folks. From Arthur Treacher, Peggy Lee, Candy Candido, Roy Bargy and his orchestra, yours truly, Howard Petrie, and Jimmy Durante with a...
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
The Jimmy Durante Show on Tuned to Yesterday from December 17th, 1947 on NBC. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVunier. And now on to one of the most famous radio pairs in broadcasting. It's Fibber McGee and Molly. Celebrating 20 years on the NBC radio network, the pair started out at WMAQ in Chicago and had tremendous success on the National Broadcasting Company through the 1930s, 40s, and into the early 50s, where their success gave way to television. At the height of their fame, over 30 million people were tuned into their program Tuesday nights at 9:30, and we'll hear a celebration at the end of this broadcast from March 11, 1952.
It's Fibber McGee and Molly. Thompson, Gail Thornton, Arthur Q. Bryan, Cliff Arquette, Dick LeGrand, and me, Harlow Wilcox. The show is written by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie and directed by Max Hutto, with music by the Kingsmen and Billy Mills Orchestra. Here's a little dramatic scene that might be entitled The Eternal Triangle. The cast is composed of a messenger boy who says,
"Package for the lady of the house."
A wife who says...
"Oh, thank you."
And a husband who says...
"And another dad-ratted package. What are you trying to do, send me to the poorhouse?"
Yep, it's Fibber McGee and Molly.
My gosh, the way a woman spends money on clothes is just plain awful. The minute her husband turns his back, she puts everything on hers.
I haven't bought any clothes, McGee. I don't know what this package is.
Oh, no. Oh, don't try to fool old Dad, kiddo. You thought I wouldn't be home when this was delivered. That's where you thought I wouldn't be. You thought I'd be hard at work somewhere, coughing my lungs out in some smoke-filled pool room. Or breaking my back trying to lift a heavy bowling ball. Come clean, Tootsie, come clean. What is it, a new dress?
In a box 8 inches long? Yeah. Don't be silly. If you'll just hold your horses till I get it unwrapped. For goodness sakes, it's a 2-pound box of candy.
Oh, candy, huh? Who's it from?
There's a card in the box.
Well, read it, read it. What's it say?
It says, "Sweets to the sweet." And it's signed Joe.
Joe? Who the happy heck is Joe?
Well, I haven't the slightest idea, bless his heart.
Oh, come now. Come on, Tootsie. You don't have to be cagey with me.
I'm not, McGee. I just don't know
who... I ain't asking who Joe is on account of because I'm jealous. I ain't got a jealous bone in my head.
I know that, dearie.
No.
You didn't even get mad on our honeymoon when I unpacked my picture of Francis X. Bushman. And set it up on the dresser.
No, I and you and Francis X. got along swell. So who's Joe?
I don't know. Have some candy. Looks good.
No, thanks. I ain't interested. whole thing is very unimportant to me. Well, I care who's chumping up to spend his dough sending you candy.
Ha!
Who cares? I just as soon hear no more about it.
Good.
I'll put it completely out of my mind.
Good.
There's just one minor point I wish you'd clear up with me before I forget it.
What's that?
Who's Joe?
I don't know.
Well, you don't have to get sore about it. My gosh, when a guy sends candy to a guy's wife, the guy whose wife gets it from the guy's got a right to know who the guy is.
Come in. Well, hello there, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, folks.
Hi, Wimp. Pull up a chair. What you got on your arm there, boy? Seed catalog?
Oh, no. This is my bird book. Oh,
I see.
I've been out to Dugan's Lake bird watching. Oh. But I haven't seen a really odd bird for days, so I thought I'd come see you a minute, Mr. McGee.
Well, that's very thoughtful, Mr. Wimple.
Yeah, I think.
Someone was telling me that they saw a rare North Polish bird near here. But...
A North Polish what bird, Mr. Wimple?
A bird. It's a small, snow-colored bird that lives at the North Pole.
Oh?
It builds its nest out of ice cubes and old frost warnings and sits there all winter long saying, brr.
You're really bird happy, aren't you, Ed? You keep any birds around the house, canaries and stuff like that there?
Yes.
Oh.
We have a beautiful little bird at the house right now.
Oh.
It's one of those talking Herza birds.
Herza bird? Don't you mean a talking minor bird?
No. Mine escaped, Mrs. McGee. This one belongs to her.
Her? You mean?
Yes. Sweetie face, my big old tax exemption.
Mrs. Wimple these days, anyway.
Oh, she's fine. We had a little discussion yesterday, though, and... Well, I just lost my temper. She didn't want me to go out, and I said, Sweetie face, I'm going downtown. I said, and I stuck my head in the room, and I said, if you don't like it, you can lump it.
Wow. What did she do?
She lumped it. I'd show you a few of the lumps, but I'd never get my head on over them again. Goodbye now.
So long, Wallace.
Billy Mills in the orchestra and Perfidia.
As curious as you are, McGee, but I've no idea who could have sent the candy.
Well,
stop fretting about it.
Well, I ain't fretting, kiddo. Don't bother me any more than a BB bothers a buffalo. I'm just curious enough, though, to get this old high school annual of ours out of the attic.
Oh, our annual, my goodness.
Yeah, I got a hunch this guy Joe's somebody we maybe went to school with and forgot about, maybe. Maybe we can find him in here.
Well, good. Open it up. Where do we start?
Oh, I'll just open it at random. Here we are. Pete Random. Remember Pete?
Sure. He was the oldest of the three Random boys. Yeah,
nice kid, too. But his name wasn't Joe, so I'll keep looking. Next is Betty Bye. Well, it's a cinch she ain't Joe.
Betty Bye? I don't seem to remember her.
Oh, sure you do. Her old man was George Bye, the fellow that owned Bye's restaurant on Adams Street.
Oh, sure. Sure, I remember. Mr. Bye made his own potato chips and was very proud of them.
That's right. They were good. When people left the restaurant, they always said, "Good chips, Mr. Bye."
All very interesting. Come in. Oh, hello, Dr. Gamble.
Top of the morning to you, my dear. And a small slice off the bottom to you, Buckethead.
Hi, Fatso. For once, I'm glad to see you. I and Molly are trying to remember something, and a guy with a memory like yours might help us.
Well, that's very flattering, but what makes you think I have a good memory?
Well, they say an elephant never forgets.
I wonder why I come here. It must be the same thing that leads an Indian mystic to drive an extra handful of spikes into his bed.
Sit down, Doctor. You look tired.
Well, I am tired, my dear. I employed a new nurse this week, Miss Bullwinkle. And she's worn me out completely.
Oh, what'd she do, Doctor?
Well, she wasn't satisfied with the appearance of my office. Thought it needed a woman's touch.
Oh?
This morning I came in and the woman had touched it. But good.
Mm. Bullwinkle redecorated, did she?
Well, you might call it that, speaking loosely.
Yeah.
The whole motif was early American.
That's nice.
Yeah. Organdy curtains at the windows, cretonne slip covers on the chairs, and a pleated ruffle around the operating table.
I suppose she framed a few X-ray photos for the walls.
No, no, she didn't. But she did plant ivy in my instrument sterilizer. And she filled my jar of formaldehyde with daffodils.
Word, there.
My surgical bandages had been carefully separated into two piles and marked his and hers.
My goodness, your office must look more like the Waldorf Astoria.
Indeed it does, my dear. In the future, I may refer to it as the Plasma Hotel.
Bye now. So long, Doc. Come in again. Let's see, let's get back to the high school annual and find Joe.
Let's give it up instead, dearie. This is getting us nowhere.
Well, it might, kiddo. Just have patience. Clyde Wellman, Jay Tomlinson, Grover Cleveland Diffenderker. Joe. Hey, I found him. Here he is.
Who?
Joe Batts. I'll bet he's the secret admirer that sent you that candy, the dirty rat.
Oh, no, McGee.
Aha, look at this. There's a letter stuck in this book. It's addressed to Dear Bunnikins, and it's signed Joe.
Dear Bunnikins?
Yeah, it's something about having a date together. So... Joe Batts, huh?
McGee, I give you my word,
I... But see, I'm shocked. We were sweethearts in high school. Supposed to be real true blue to each other. I never so much as looked at another girl and you was running around with Joe Batts and letting him call you Bunnikins.
Let me see that letter.
Okay, read it.
Dear Bunnikins.
Yeah.
Our date last night was lots of fun. You look so nice in your new long pants. What? Long pants. This is not my letter.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. Joe was Josephine Durkin. She wrote that to me. Oh, we had a couple of dates, but it was just a passing fancy. You understand, kiddo.
I understand, Bunnikins.
Oh, I care who Joe is anyhow. I know I'm the guy for you.
Of course you are.
Even if I do scatter ashes on your rugs.
That's right, dear.
Even if I do go bowling when you want to see a movie.
Right again.
Even if I do use your best linen napkins to clean my shotgun.
When did you do that?
Well, I haven't done it yet, but I thought I'd run it in while you were in a soft mood. Just testing.
Well, McGee, it's as simple as this.
Yeah?
When we married, I promised to love, honor, and obey you.
Betcha. So all I got to do is ask you three questions. You still love me?
You know I do. Second question.
You still honor me?
Of course. Third question.
Who's Joe?
I don't know.
Well, you don't have to tell the neighbors about it. Just burns me up that some guy's got the crust to send candy. If
King's Men and retreat.
I once heard that in the city, gals were sweet and awful pretty, so I roamed into town. Loaded down with gold and money, but I didn't figure, honey, you'd treat me so low down. Retreat, 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 says my heart. Retreat, 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 says my heart. If I was a piece of candy, all your sugar would be dandy to melt my heart away. Loved your hugs and I loved your kisses, even thought I'd make you misses, but my heart seemed to say, retreat, 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 says my heart. Retreat, 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 says my heart.
Saw you a dancing with a stranger, my heart hollered, look out, danger, go away and let me be.
20 years I saved my money, now it's spent and gone, my honey, it's gone and so is me. Retreat, 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 says my heart. Retreat, 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 says my heart.
Here for our football, there's Joe Ferguson. No, he couldn't have sent the candy. He's a politician, and they only send mink coats. Joe Mitchell. No, it couldn't be him either. I was one of his pallbearers. Joe Blow.
Hey, are you still racking your brain about that candy?
Candy? What candy, my dear? Oh, you're referring to the candy that this unknown Joe person sent you? I hadn't given it a thought, my dear.
Well, good. For a while, I was afraid you were...
Just a moment to Joe, my dear. Come in.
Oh, it's Mayor LaTrivia. Come in, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Molly. Hello, McGee.
Well, if it ain't the people's choice himself. We haven't seen you for a while, LaTriv. You've been busy.
No, not especially.
Oh?
Actually, all I've done today is look up some confidential records for Judge Weinkoop.
Oh, is that part of your regular work, Mr. Mayor?
No, but the judge and I call on each other for favors whenever we need them.
Oh.
You know how it is in politics, Molly. I scratch his back and he scratches mine.
Seems like a pretty silly way for a judge and a mayor to spend their day, LaTrivia.
I beg your pardon?
Scratching each other's backs when you should be working. Isn't that a little childish, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, well, I'm afraid you misunderstood me, Molly. I simply...
How do you guys keep it fair and even, LaTriv? You keep a... keep score on a sort of a scratch sheet? Or you just go at it scratch as scratch can?
No. Just a minute, please. I merely used an old political expression here, mm-hmm. McGee. I'll scratch your back and you scratch mine.
No, thanks, Homer. I don't itch right now. Some other time.
You're awful sweet to offer it, though, Mr. Mayor. And a man with your experience who spends all day scratching judges ought to do a fine job.
I don't spend all day scratching anybody.
Probably look, just spends half a day scratching, Molly, and the other half being scratched. That right, LaTrivia?
Yes. No. Look, I merely went down and gave Judge Weinkoop a hand today. I didn't
say... one hand? My gosh, you couldn't do much of a scratch job with just one hand, LaTrivia.
I should say not. With a man as wide as a judge, you'd need about six hands to do it right. It'd take three of them just to hold up that long black robe.
I didn't scratch him with my hands. I never laid a hand on the man.
Oh, you used a ruler, huh? Oh, boy, you can really do it with a long ruler. That's the greatest feeling in the world.
I didn't ruse a long ruler.
Huh?
Use a long ruler.
Huh?
Listen to me, please. Yes. The judge asked me to help him. Mm-hmm. He had a case that was giving him trouble.
Oh, a case of hives or a case of poison ivy?
Hives? No. Neither one. It was a case of habeas corpus.
Oh,
no, I went down.
That poor man. Those foreign skin diseases can be mighty out.
You must have wore out your knuckles, too, on that rough robe of his on account of...
I never score out my nickels on Judge Kindfu. Fill my pickles on Fudge Line Loop.
You said...
Kindfu. Droop. Woo! Look! When I said we snatched each other's jacks, then matched my brother's slack. I wouldn't touch the pudge with a 10-foot yule. That's the Dutch with a bent fishbone. I didn't say anything about it. If you were the ones that... I was just...
Scratch his back.
I was... It was... I was just... McGee.
Yes, boy?
Would you care to join a group of friends at my home this evening? I plan to throw a small party outdoors.
Oh, in your patio, eh?
No, no, in the house. You're the small party I plan to throw outdoors. Good boy.
Glad you don't get excited like that, McGee.
Yeah, just nerves, I guess. Hey, I got an idea, kiddo. You go put your face on and we'll go downtown to dinner. What do you say? To dinner.
Oh, wonderful. You're awful sweet to take me out, dearie. You know, it was nice to get this box of candy, but I wouldn't trade you for six of these Joes, whoever Joe is.
That rather, why do we have to keep talking about Joe? That's all I hear around this joint is candy, 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 Joe, Joe, Joe. I hope he breaks his big fat neck.
Well, bless his little noisy heart. I do believe Mommy's boy is jealous.
I am not either jealous, too. He can take a run and jump in the...
Oh, wait a minute, dearie. Who's this? Come in. Well, Debbie Lynn. Hello, Debbie.
Oh, hello, Mrs. McGee. Hi, Mr. McGee. Ed told me to be sure and say hello for him.
Well, Mr. McGee's pouting, dear. How is Ed? Your romance still zooming, is it?
Oh, yes, Mrs. McGee. Ed's so wonderful. The silliest darn thing happened to me yesterday, though. I almost lost Ed on account of it.
Oh, some girl after him?
Oh, no, it was just so silly. I got this box of candy yesterday, you see, with a little card in it that said, Sweets to the Sweet from Joe. Well, you know. And Ed got simply furious. He thought Joe was some boy who was trying to date me. Isn't that silly?
It certainly is.
Who's Joe?
Why, don't you know about... Oh, wait a minute. What time is it?
It's almost half past.
Well, let me turn on your radio. There. Wait a minute.
And today's lucky recipient of a box of these wonderful chocolates was Mrs. Molly McGee of 79 Wistful Vista. As you know, every day some lucky lady receives a handsome box of our deluxe candy, absolutely free. Remember our slogan, Sweets to the Sweet, from Joe, the Bonbon King.
Imagine Ed getting jealous over that, Molly. It just goes to show what the adolescent mind will do, don't it? Hand me another piece of candy, kiddo.
Help yourself, bunnykins.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, Fibber and Molly are celebrating their 20th anniversary. With us is the president of the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce and honorary mayor, Mr. John B. Kingsley, with a message for them. Mr. Kingsley.
Thank you, Harlow. Jim and Marion, the people of Hollywood have had this parchment scroll drawn up as an expression of their deep appreciation to you both. It says, in grateful appreciation to Jim and Marion Jordan, whom the world knows and loves as Fibber McGee and Molly, who by their many years of clean, wholesome comedy and by their exemplary personal life have brought great credit to our great community of Hollywood, which in their honor has christened itself Wistful Vista for a Day. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kingsley.
Yeah, we're very flattered and thankful, John. We're thankful to you, to the people of Hollywood, the businessmen, the Hollywood Citizen News, and everybody who helped make this a day we will always remember. Molly and I hope...
Wait a minute! That... Wait a minute! What do you mean I can't go out there? I got a message for him. Where are they?
McGee, it's Jimmy Durant.
My Lord, everybody wants to get in the act.
They're stealing my dialogue. It's embezzlement. That's what it is. I ought to break up the joint. But you know something, kids? I'm in a tender mood tonight.
Well, good, Jimmy.
I brought you a little token of our appreciation for the way you've been dishing it out over the killer circles. And of a glorified fan letter. Let me read it to you.
Come on, Jimmy, let's hear it.
It says, and I quote, in tribute to two wonderful people for the 20 years of good entertainment, clean humor and wholesome American fun, for which have endeared them and the Fibber McGee and Molly program to radio listeners of the United States, including all of us whose names are here inscribed. And it's signed Bud Allen, Milton Boyle, Eddie Cantor, Jack Carson, Lou Costello, Dennis Day, Ralph Edwards, Phil Harris, Bob Hope, Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin, Groucho Marx, Donald O'Connor, Walter O'Keefe, Jack Parr, Red Skelton, Danny Thomas, Willard Gildersleeve Waterman, Ed Wynn, and yours truly, James Durante.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Thanks. That's just great.
It makes us very happy.
You deserve it, both of you. You've been a couple of good Joes.
Who's Joe? Oh, we done that, didn't we? Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber McGee and Molly on Tuned to Yesterday, celebrating their approximate 20-year anniversary on NBC with a special surprise from Jimmy Durante at the end. I didn't want to spoil it for you. I hope you had a lot of laughs in this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. It's been a pleasure.